And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5. Ah, there I am. And coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. And now I know where I am in the world, right here in beautiful, holy cow, it's 78 degrees. A little warm for some of us, but it is gorgeous, blue skies. And 78 is a lot better than 91, so we'll take it and be happy that we live in such a beautiful place. It is time for Arts Live and Local, and this is Carol, your host, this June 23rd, and I want to send greetings out to Nova Scotia, to New York, and right here in Astoria. I'm going to start out with a mazel tov to possibly the newest married folks I know. Felicidades to Pris and John. Okay, it's going to be a good one. Oh, I think that's enough congratulatory music for now. We wish them lots of nachas and a good time together, surrounded by friends and music, of course. And that was, by the way, the band Oomph, which is a klezmer band. I bet you recognize that. But what you might not have recognized is the voice. That was the voice of Yankel Falk, Jack Falk, who will be here in Astoria playing at Gala in July. So do stay tuned for more information on that. Now to something, I think, a bit more serious. Am I right? Your play is a bit more serious.
More serious.
Mm. Okay.
It does have a couple funny parts, and Rita can talk about that.
So that's kind of like a pressure release, probably, because
correct.
The Peninsula Players are putting on 12 Angry Jurors. And if you're thinking, wait, I thought it was 12 Angry Men. they'll tell you about that, too. This is an Emmy Award-winning classic drama, and it was adapted by Sherman Serkle. Directed locally by Ed Ahlers or Allers?
Allers.
Allers. And it is opening tonight. And I have here in the studio jurors 2, 3, and 8. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yes, right. That's correct. A.K.A., although I don't know which numbers, who goes with which number?
I play number 2. Okay. I'm kind of the comic relief, I would say.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. Rita Smith, who's been on this show because she directs and produces and plays in many, many theater productions. And that's great. So,
right.
Bob Goldberg, what number are you?
I am number 8, the famous number 8. That Henry Fonda played in the movie version, in the 50s movie version.
Nice.
And hard part, I'm very serious, but and supposedly the bleeding heart liberal of the group.
Well, that fits.
Fit.
Yeah.
The character fits.
The character
like a glove.
And the shoe fits. Well, Jim Tweedy, that leaves you with number 3. How would you describe your character?
Well, I'm not sure I'm exactly typecast for this role, but I am juror number 3 is the angriest, I think, of the angry jurors.
Uh-huh.
And he is very insisting on his way and is absolutely convinced that he's right.
Now, a lot of people in the audience, I'm sure, are familiar with the play, but not everybody. So let me ask you, do you want to not give away what happens?
Well, basically, it's a play about, it takes place in a jury room with 12 jurors, and they're trying to decide the fate of a young boy, a 19-year-old boy, who is accused of killing his father. And so we have to decide his fate. And this is the first time we're doing the play in the round. And the jury is in the center of our theater, and the audience is sitting around the jury. So,
okay, this is the River City Playhouse, which is a wonderful place, 127 Lake Street in El Waco. So those are movable seats, I gather.
Yes. Yeah.
I never even paid much attention, but of course I'm remembering now they're not the most comfortable. Oh,
they are very comfortable.
They're very comfortable, but you're moving them out and doing.
Well, those are the chairs that we're using for the audience,
right?
And they're sitting around the jury table.
Who decided? Is that the way the play is written? Or
no, Ed wanted to do something. We've talked about doing a play in the round, and he just decided this would be a good one to do. It was a challenge for us, but I think it's going to be real interesting. It brings the audience. They're sitting probably 8-10 feet from us.
Wow.
But they're still kind of become closer. It's more intimate.
It's very intimate, and it's very intense.
Absolutely.
I hope to see this. I can't quite even imagine doing this in the round, although I do remember that when I saw, the last time I saw the production, I believe it was 12 Angry Men, but similar, was here in Astoria. And I do remember wishing that I could see everybody.
I remember that because I was number 7 in that production. And number 7 sits at the end of the table. And I was facing, my back was facing the audience the whole time. So it's a challenge no matter how you run this, because the actors are on stage the whole time.
Yeah.
And you can move around, but it's very difficult to, you know, have all the audience see you all the time. But we've been assured that it will be great. Mm-hmm. The people that have watched it in the audience there say wherever they sat,
worked.
They thought it worked.
I like it. I think it's courageous, and it will make it unusual.
One nice thing about being on stage, one of the things on stage is you have to turn to play towards the audience. But when you're in the round like we are, no matter what direction you face, you're playing to the audience.
Yep, that's right.
Because there's going to be the audience in front of you no matter what direction
you're
looking at.
So the challenge is filling the house every night, so there is an audience all the way around. But I don't think that will be a problem. You've got quite a following. So, Jim, you're playing the angriest man, and you said, I've never met you before, so I'm not speaking from experience, but you said this, you are not typecast for this.
Well, I thought to say I don't have anger that comes out occasionally in my life, but in general, I tend to be more more quiet and even-tempered.
Okay, so sort of one question, but maybe two. Did you choose to try out for this part, or were you chosen for this part, and if so, do you know why? And the second question, that was three, but now I have another one, is how does it feel to play a really angry person for an extended period?
Well, that's three questions.
Oh, at least.
I actually was when I read the script, and I was familiar with the movie, my character was played by Lee J. Cobb, actually.
Mm.
So it's sort of humbling to be taking a role that has been so well known over the years. I actually was hoping that Ed would select me for one of the angrier jurors simply because it would be a challenge. It would be something different.
Right.
And I felt those roles in some ways might push me into new directions, and they did. And he chose me for the angriest of them all. So I didn't particularly specifically try out for juror number three, but Ed felt that maybe there was something in my audition that would suit that role.
And
he's the biggest juror.
I'm also the tallest. Yeah.
You are tall, I discovered.
So maybe I can be more intimidating.
Intimidating. Okay, how does it, now that you've got it, you were thinking it would be a challenge. I presume it has been a challenge, but how, are you glad that you... And how does it feel on your psyche when you leave the rehearsals?
Well, that's a great question because you're touching on some real experience that I've had with this. I think there are parts of us that we hold in or we don't express in our lives. And this role allows me to really touch base with feelings of anger that I do have. And so it's a little dangerous thing to touch those because I go home and I'm still... My blood pressure's up. My pulse is faster. I come home and I'm still angry, and my wife has to decompress me.
I was going to say, leave the house, probably.
I find that as we've been practicing this play, my temper has become a little bit more acute. My patience is thinner. I'm hoping that I can make it through the next week and really start to calm down again for the rest of the summer. It's a very compelling role, and it's a very consuming, and it is an intense play.
And have you done a lot of theater before? Because I haven't met you.
Well, this is, I think, my fourth or fifth role with Peninsula Players, and that's basically been the limit of my acting experience on stage.
Mm-hmm. What made you decide to get into theater to begin with? To even audition for the first one?
Opportunities. The first, where I had been in my life before, I had so many evening commitments as part of my work that I never had the opportunity to do outside things.
Mm-hmm.
And when I moved here, I had more evenings free, and it gave me an opportunity to pursue some things I had always had interest in but had never been able to do.
Nice.
So I'm grateful to the Peninsula Players. It's
wonderful.
Been a wonderful experience.
Well,
for me.
I hope the next play you get a happy role so you change your temperament. But I appreciate what you're saying, tapping into that part of yourself that maybe we don't always like, but most of us have some of that. So
thank
just
you.
Breathe deeply. Yeah, we don't want your blood pressure going, not here especially. And Rita, you have played everything all over the map.
Yes,
so
I have.
So have you found this to be a challenge?
You know, I didn't know what this juror, he was kind of blasé, and so I thought, you know, this he needs to have, she, of course. And so I just kind of developed this character, and I knit the whole time. And my knitting needles never stop.
Oh, my gosh.
And the couple times I put them down to say a longer thing, but I'm constantly knitting, even when I jump up because anger because people are getting angry, but my knitting needles are going. I've made, so far I've made a dozen dishcloths. I make one a night now for each performance.
That's wonderful. So it's a Madame Defarge in the courtroom there. And Bob, anything new for you since you're a flaming liberal in the play and you're a little bit
Thing about this play that's really interesting to me is that I, of course, wanted number 7 because I had done that before and it would be easy. And auditions were when I was in Europe. And Ed said, I'm bumping you up to 8. I'm bumping you up 1. And I said, 8? what I realized as I read the play over and over is that this character is me. It's exactly me. And Ed tried to put everyone in a role that they weren't.
Oh.
But I think he thought that basically that wasn't me, but this is me. This is the person who knows they're right and is going to convince everybody else that that he's right.
Whether or not they are.
Or wants to argue about everything and just loves the argument part, just wants to stick around. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the very beginning of this play, it's pretty much everyone thinks the kid is guilty. The way that it's presented, everyone thinks the kid is guilty, and number 8 is just kind of standing off to one side, and then he puts his hand up, and it goes from there, and that is me. So it was a discovery process that the role. So I will be playing it differently than you probably have seen it.
Well, we have to definitely have to see this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the Peninsula Players, 12 Angry Jurors, and was the Reginald Rose, did he write the original 12 Angry Men, or do you know?
The original was a TV show that Reginald Rose wrote,
and
the movie was adapted from the TV show, and the play was also adapted from the TV show. The movie and the play are somewhat different.
Mm-hmm. And the movie was nominated for 3 Academy Awards, including Best Picture.
Wow.
I just want to say one other thing. Not only is Rita fantastic in her role, you just have to see it. She brings some, but the other women, there's 5 women on the jury, and because they're women playing some really interesting parts, I think it changes the character of the play and makes it more interesting, more in depth than people might have seen before.
I think it's more complex.
And each character is so different. Everybody has developed their own personality into it, and it's...
Wow. And I understand you're opening tonight and then running for 2 weekends. So it's Friday and Saturday, tonight, tomorrow night at 7, and Sunday at 2, and then again next weekend the same, Friday and Saturday at 7 and Sunday at 2. And I remember it's supposed to be very hot in that courtroom, and I think you've got the real thing maybe tonight.
I think so.
You know, you won't have to fake that one. My guests, Rita Smith, juror number 2, Bob Goldberg, juror number 8, and Jim Tweedy, juror number 3, can be seen on the stage at the River City Playhouse, 127 Lake Street Southeast in Ilwaco. It's right down the road from the museum. And I do want to mention that on July 1st, there will be fireworks following the play as well. Now, can people just get the tickets at the door? Is that the idea?
We have our usual ticket outlets, Storm and Norman's, Oakey's, and Old Hell Cafe, but there will be tickets at the door as well.
Okay.
And the tickets are $10.
Okay. We don't do prices, but that's okay.
Sorry.
I won't arrest you or take you to court. Thank you so much for coming in. May you all break, I don't know how many legs, but break a leg or two.
Break a sweat.
There we go. Okay.
As my daughter said, break an ankle. Or sprain an ankle.
Oy, I think. Okay. Thank you so much for coming in. That's opening tonight, folks. And next up, I've got some music for you from my next guest. And that is Aaron Large A. Kaplan. Have a listen, and then you can welcome him. And I've got actually 2 guests from the Estrella Music Festival. Thanks for being here. It's Coast Community Radio. You are listening to the music of Aaron Larche Kaplan, who will be playing tonight at the Performing Arts Center, 16th and Franklin, and that is part of the Astoria Music Festival and the sometimes called baritone, sometimes called bass, Richard Zeller from the Metropolitan Opera will be singing with him. So, there we are. Aaron's my first guest, and I'm just going to introduce my second guest briefly because I've asked him please to pitch in if he has any questions, comments, or criticism. No criticism, sorry. And that would be Kevin Schlossman, who is doing double duty here at the Astoria Music Festival because he is the artistic administrator, and he also is a percussionist. That might sound familiar, and you're right. That's because 2 weeks ago, he was here with Angela Mead and Danielle Orlando. And I'm just putting together who all these people are. It's quite amazing, this festival. So welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
And now I'm going to come over to Aaron. So what were we just listening to, Aaron?
That was Tango en Sky by the recently passed French-Tunisian composer Roland Dion. It's just a fun little tango that he improvised and that I recorded a few years ago, and I just think it's a wonderful way to kind of start the day and get everyone moving.
Yeah, and you know, tango is very popular here in Astoria, you may have heard.
I have experience.
Yes. We even had a tango class after one of the other performances. It was great. Yeah. So tonight... It's tonight. Yes, your performance is tonight, as I say, at the Clatsop Community College Performing Arts Center, 16th and Franklin, 7:30. You can get tickets at the door, but come obviously earlier than that. What are you and Richard Zeller going to be doing?
It's a wonderful program, if I may say so. It's a vocal recital with a few guitar solos in it. For those of you who have heard Richard, and I know he's been coming here for years, you probably see him as this amazing operatic voice, you know, amazing presence on stage. Yes. And we're doing something completely different. He is not running over me. He has fantastic control and color, and we're just doing a song recital. So it's art songs. There's going to be some Schubert in there, arranged for guitar, of course. Amazing Spanish songs by Manuel de Falla, Siete Canciones, just a few of them, not all seven. And then we also are doing some songs I arranged by the Venezuelan French composer, Ronaldo Hahn, Belle Époque, totally gorgeous and luscious colors. And then we are doing the song by Joaquin Rodrigo that he wrote that's based on the second movement of his famous Aranjuez concerto. And it's called Aranjuez Ma Pensée. His wife wrote these beautiful lyrics to the most Spanish song in the world, and it's in French, it's a really well versed program of songs. And then I'll be playing a few short pieces of John Cage, which will surprise you.
Good.
They're just wonderful. A prelude and a fugue by Johann Sebastian Bach, kind of a mashup of an organ, a violin, and a guitar or lute fugue. And then,
but you're doing it all on the guitar.
With my six hands.
Yeah.
And then I'm doing this amazing work off my last CD, The Legend of Hagoromo. For those who have seen this, it is an 18-minute virtuoso tour de force. Great story. And the space is just beautiful. Mm-hmm. The acoustic is lovely. And I'm really looking forward to an exciting concert.
So how did this program come about? Because Richard... And you don't have...
We met two days ago.
Right.
Keith Clark, the artistic director of the Astoria Music Festival, he contacted me. We've kind of gone back and forth over the last year, but he contacted me about 2 months ago and said, are you in the area? And I am. I'm starting another tour with another guitarist tomorrow. And
we'll talk about that in a minute. Yeah.
But he said, would you be interested in doing a song recital? And for me, my friends and family and fans in Astoria have only really seen me solo, mm-hmm. and a little bit with tango dancers. But the joy of collaboration, of creating a greater art with another, is so exciting and beautiful. And there's really, working with the first instrument, which is our voice, Richard really just makes this so easy and pleasant. And I think for those who haven't experienced a guitar recital, you'll hear solo guitar, but if you haven't experienced a vocal recital, I mean, there's some mm-hmm. songs you'll definitely recognize and others you won't, but it is really just the yeah. sweetest. So I'm very happy to have to be out here.
And Richard, as you say, is been coming for many years. He has a fabulous voice. He's also yeah. a lovely person.
He is.
He's very big. So it can be a little intimidating, but he is such a sweetheart.
And he has such control over the voice that it never overpowers mm-hmm. the his presence.
He's a professional.
We play together.
Yeah.
And it's the two of us, as collaborations should be, as the two come together and create a bigger whole.
And again, I mentioned that he is sings at the Metropolitan Opera. So. Oh, I just wanted to say, although Richard's been coming with the Astoria Music Festival only, Aaron's been coming here because his mother is a very important person in this community and at this radio station, a wonderful volunteer all the way around, and that would be Lori Kaplan, who is well-known for many reasons in this community, including Noel NG. And so Aaron started coming here and giving us concerts. And
I was a mere student in college.
And it's expanded from there, and that's been great. Yeah. And now you're at the Astoria Music Festival.
People have asked me why I come out, and I'm like, you know, Astoria is almost my second family.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the friends in here have known me for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really a pleasure to be here. It's a true gift to be a part of the festival and to see the city change and grow and to see the beautiful spaces, the Liberty, be used. Mm-hmm. I mean, I played at the Liberty before the stage was rebuilt and all this.
Right.
So it's really cool to see all these great things and to meet other great musicians like Kevin and Richard and
you're
a decent guy.
Let's keep it with the festival but don't forget we want to talk about what you're doing tomorrow night in this community. And what I'd like to do is just put on, I think, some music that you will recognize, folks. And, okay, name that tune.
I'm not going to sing for you.
Oh, yeah. Okay, folks, did you get it? Of course you got it. Il Barbiere di Siviglia, otherwise known as what, Kevin?
The Barber of Seville.
Hey, there you go. The Barber of Seville by Rossini. And no, that was not Kevin singing, and it wasn't Richard either. It was...
I also believe it has a surtitle, sorry to interrupt you, The Futile Precaution. Something like that.
Is that right? Yes.
Something like that.
Oh, how fun. Yes, by
Gioacchino Rossini.
That's it. Thank you. So I mentioned at the beginning that you're playing double duty, and you're actually playing at least quadruple duty because you're running around and making sure everything happens, plus jumping on the stage, not just the stage, but up in the top of the stage to play percussion. And that was for...
Well, let's see. Last week, we actually had the percussion exclusively above the stage in the Liberty Theater just because we had such a large orchestra. It was the only place they could seat us.
You look great up there. There were three of you, three or four.
Let's see. For the Philip Glass, there were four total, actually.
Four.
Yeah.
Wow. That is so cool.
It was so much fun.
Yeah.
It really, really was.
Yeah. And we had a blast. If you don't live around here and aren't hopping on a plane or train or bus or bicycle to get here, then you'll just have to take our word for it or tune in to coastradio.org click on KCPB, and you will be able to hear the this weekend's performances. This is the last weekend of the festival. If you live around here, I would urge you to get out and come to the Performing Arts Center tonight and the Liberty Saturday and Sunday, because there's nothing like live music or theater or whatever else is happening. I'm getting a thumbs up or an arms up or something. So, Kevin.
Yes.
Aaron told us about tonight. Can you, before we get to Rossini, can you tell us what's happening tomorrow night?
I absolutely can. Please. But before I do, I'd like to take a moment to compliment my partner in the booth.
Yes.
I was looking at your nails, and to the audience at large out there, if you ever...
At large, eh? Oh, sorry, I couldn't.
If you ever really want to compliment a classical guitarist, mention their nails, that thumbnail is impressive.
Thank you.
Do you lacquer that?
No.
That's natural?
I didn't
that's
even
natural.
Know.
It's all about... You know,
I didn't even notice. See, I'm learning
prayer,
right here.
A little there. Bit of, you know, good diet. And,
there you
it's
go.
It's really lovely.
And I wear gloves almost everywhere.
Oh, do you really? Do you actually as protection? I imagine you must
when
have
I have
to, yeah.
luggage, I definitely wear gloves.
So you don't do the garden?
I do the garden. Oh. I just wear gloves.
Okay.
You know, I just...
That's a good idea anyway.
It's kind of like handle... You said you have to have very dainty hands when you played piano, and it's you have to have muscle, but if your nails don't work, the strings don't sound good, and that's why they have bows, so you don't have to deal with nails.
So, folks, I want you to know, as Debbie Twombly reminds us, that Dave Bennett used to say, it's a poor day if you don't learn something new. Well, I just learned a few new things just now. So, okay, now, Kevin.
Yes, you had asked me a question. I'm so excited to tell you about what's going on this weekend. Starting tonight, actually, we have four or five excellent concerts. We have Aaron and Richard Zeller's concert tonight. Tomorrow in the Liberty Theater, we have a Reader's Theater, a sort of live rendition of the play that The Barber of Seville is based off of.
I was wondering what it was going to be. Okay.
It's sort of a lecture, cum play. You know, it's a little bit of both. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be followed by an unbelievable chamber concert tomorrow evening in the Liberty featuring the Oregon Symphony concert mistress, Sarah Kwok, and her husband, as well as Carrie Lewis, who's a longtime friend of the festival. Yeah.
And of course, we around here call that Lewis and Kwok. I can't. We do. We really do. And Sergei, I believe, is playing in that tomorrow night as well.
I believe he is.
Chamber concert. Yes, she... she's quite wonderful, Sarah Kwok.
Yeah, she really is.
And her husband, it's true.
Valley Phillips.
Yeah. So that is Saturday evening, 7:30. By the way, AstoriaMusicFestival.org can get you all this information and photos, too. However, you're listening now because we have all the extras. Okay, then what happens?
Well, let's see. Very late in the game, we also added an extra concert, a sort of really spectacular, another chamber music concert,
right.
Sunday afternoon at a church in Warrenton. All the information, of course, can be found online. That's headed by our associate concert mistress for the festival, Olivia Tsui.
Oh, yes.
Who has put together such a stellar array of pieces. It's going to be really fantastic.
Could that possibly be in the morning on Sunday? Because
yes,
it's at the Pioneer Church.
Yes, it is.
Oh, it's after services, though, because Dwight Caswell will be giving the sermon, and then you can stay for the performance as well.
I encourage you to do so.
Yes, definitely. Well, what time is the Rossini? I thought that was at 4 p.m.
The Rossini does start at 4 p.m. Okay. in the Liberty Theater.
Liberty.
But we also have, and I'm excited to announce this, a concert preview starting at 2:45. You can come to the Liberty Theater and learn a little bit more about the play. Our music director, Keith Clark, will be heading that. And that's something that it's so fun. I really hope you don't miss it.
Yeah, it's always, he's quite the theater person, actually. He definitely, and full of information. I think it's all true, but he's definitely wonderful at offering it. So, okay, so that changes the time, but the opera starts at 4, but definitely, Kevin's right, come early and catch the opera preview at 2:45.
But really, definitely, most definitely, come to the opera. It's going to be such a fantastic 15th anniversary season closer. I'm so excited to announce that it is going so well, and it's headed by the most incredible cast. I can't even tell you.
Well,
really.
Do tell us, because I've never, I think I actually inadvertently met the Figaro at the Liberty the other night, just by chance, but I didn't realize it was Figaro.
Our Louise Ledesma.
Yes.
So charming.
Oh, totally charming.
And so handsome.
And totally handsome, and I had no idea he was a star. I thought he was just a guest at the Liberty. Silly me. Do you know anything about him?
You know, Louise is really one of the opera world's, you know, he's a firmament of the opera world, really. He's sung everywhere. He's sung at Teatro alla Scala, the Klangborg Festival. I never pronounce that word correctly. I believe I just mispronounced
we'll
it, so forgive
you,
me. Yeah. I mean, he's sung in New York City, Washington, Vienna, Lyric Opera of Chicago. He's sung at Carnegie Hall many times. He really is an incredible singer.
And he lives in Philadelphia now. That's the thing I didn't find out the other night, even though I had no idea who he was.
he does. He lives in Philadelphia.
And I see, actually, our own Deke Weedy is singing. We adore Deke.
Deke is playing Dr. Bartolo in the opera, sort of a comic role.
Yeah. Suits him well.
Oh, and he is slaying this role. I got to see it yesterday. It is hilarious.
Oh, good.
Nice.
He can. I can just imagine. Well, I don't have to imagine. I will be there for sure.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I hope you listening out there will be too. Richard Zeller is in this as well, the very same.
He has a wonderful opera buffa part as well.
He's Don Basilio, as I believe.
Yeah, he's doing another comic role. And I'm shocked by what he can do. It's just, he's like on, off. It was just on all the time.
Yes, it's really quite a commanding performance from Richard Zeller, especially in this role. It's impressive.
Yeah, it's
more than that.
I wish I could be there. I mean,
I'm
it's
sorry
really
you can't.
Looks good. I was actually going to play. There's a guitar part in the very beginning for one of the tenor arias. And Keith and I were like, we're going to work it out. And I was going to change something. And it just didn't work out. But Keith said it's all worked out. So don't worry. The guitar
we have our own. I think he's an Astoria native, if I'm not incorrect. David Drury.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. He's a jazz guitarist.
Who is doing such an excellent job, really.
Good. Yeah. Okay, so this is, we don't have to tell you about the story because...
Oh, but it's so fun.
Uh-oh. Well, if you can do it in 1 minute.
I learned it from
Bugs
Bunny.
Yeah. I also.
I did. Every time I hear it, I think Bugs Bunny and, you know.
Yeah, well, that's why we played the music at the beginning saying, you will recognize this music for sure.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. And, but that's not necessarily what it's going to sound like on Sunday. There will be no Bugs Bunny. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to inform you.
Well, I guess really quickly, just a brief synopsis for those of us that don't know. The story is Count Almaviva, played or sung by Marco Pannuccio, who's an unbelievable tenor, wants to win the love of a young Rosina, being played by Megan Martin, who is just stunning. But her ward, our own Deke Weedy, playing Dr. Bartolo,
boo.
Oh. He kind of is the boo character, already has his own designs on Rosina. And it's sort of this incredible story where love triumphs, but it's also overly complicated in the most delightful of ways. It's such a great comedy.
And we have also Nikolai Stromer,
yes.
And Beth Madsen Bradford are also playing this. So.
Minor roles, but essential.
Yes.
And essential.
And Nikolai is playing Fiorello. Now, I know the other Fiorello, the guy from New York. But, okay, folks, go to AstoriaMusicFestival.org, get yourself the tickets, or just, if you're here, walk over to the office. It's open right now. It's just down the block from I presume it's open.
It is open now. Yes, it is.
And the phone number is 503-325-9896 if you have any questions for them. And join in. And for those of you who were wondering about the award dinner honoring Arlene Lemire, thank you, but it is sold out. So congratulations to Arlene and to the festival.
And tonight's concert is almost full.
Okay.
So act accordingly.
Yeah. Okay, I've got my ticket. Nah, 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 nah. Okay, so The Astoria Music Festival last weekend, and you're not playing anymore?
I am, actually. There's a small percussion part.
Oh.
Yeah.
In the opera?
Mm-hmm. You'll see me back there playing a little banda part, bass drum with cymbal attached.
Nice, yeah. See, I told you, he'll pop up all over the place. Last night, I do believe I heard your voice telling people to darken their screens if they were taking pictures.
You recognized
that. I did recognize your voice.
That was me.
Well, also, I said bravo, because if you plan to take pictures, sometimes you're not even allowed to, but with Israel Nebaker's show, and Ilya and Sergei and this wonderful group, people were allowed to take pictures, but not hold up your bright light camera so that it ruins it for everybody behind you. Let that be a lesson, folks. That's all I'll say.
It does. It bothers people around
you. It sure does. So thank you so much for coming in. Again, tonight, 7:30, 16th and Franklin. Get there at 7. There's always cookies and coffee. And
there is a reception on the stage after the concert.
Okay.
And so if you want to meet Richard or myself...
Tonight. No. But tell them quickly about tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, yes.
1 minute.
1 minute. Tomorrow night, I am performing with a wonderful fingerstyle jazz improvisational guitarist, Peter Jansen. He and I are starting a tour of 15 concerts in 4 states in Long Beach at the Peninsula Arts Center. It is tomorrow night. I think it's at 7 or 7:30. It's in the Coast Weekend, as well as peninsulaartscenter.org. And that is music from, it's called World of Guitar, virtuoso music from 6 continents. You can hear penguins. You can hear Mussorgsky's Russian pictures at exhibition, tangos, Japan, and Bach.
Okay.
And good stuff.
That's tomorrow night at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center. And you can find them online as well. You better check in. That is a small space. So you need to get your tickets. Get hold of Bill or Sue Swenson. Thank you so much for coming in. Aaron Larger-Kaplan.
Thank you.
Kevin Schlossman. This is Carol Newman with Coast Community Radio. Stay tuned, folks. I have some more guests, and they're going to talk about art.
Thank you so much for having us.
You bet.
Thank
you. Ora mit Symbolis. Okay, folks, I promised you some visual artists. Well, all kinds of, actually, I can't call it visual because there's pottery as well. There's all kinds of stuff. But it's a very exciting event in Cannon Beach this weekend. Cannon Beach is very rich with festivals, good, solid festivals. And this time it is plein air and more arts festival today, Saturday, and Sunday. And to tell you about the whole festival is Bonnie Gilchrist. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi there.
And she's going to give us an overview and what's happening. And then, new to me, now, have you not been here before?
No, I haven't.
We have been corresponding for so many years. I assumed that you've been here. Okay. And then my other guest is Joanne Schellen. And where do you live, Joanne?
Kirkland.
Kirkland, yes. Otherwise known as the Seattle area for
right,
those of us
exactly.
around here. And obviously, Joanne is brand new. You've never been. I haven't here. Either. Have either of you been on radio before?
I have.
Okay. Yeah. Joanne also?
Yes.
Okay. We have two KMUN virgins, folks, right here in the studio. They're not radio virgins, but they are KMUN. So now it's all over and you're, you know, you've been here. Now you can come back all the time and we welcome you.
Thank you.
I am delighted. Joanne is going to be showing at Dragon Fire. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Bonnie, why don't you start? Tell us. First of all, some people don't know what plein air is. So,
well, plein air means to paint outdoors in the fresh air. It's a French term. But the reason that this festival is called Plein Air and More is because we are the only one in the entire country that has a plein air festival that includes more than people painting. Typically, plein air, you think of people outside with easels and painting landscapes. And because of the number of galleries that we have in Cannon Beach that are members of the Cannon Beach Gallery Group, in order to include everyone, we said we need to add more to this. So we have glass blowers, we have metal workers, we have woodworkers, we have jewelers, nice. Ceramic artists. So
are there going to be some people who are actually working,
yes.
Doing demos this
weekend?
Yeah,
there'll be demos.
Well?
And the festival started today with the artists working out and around town. And then there are receptions at some of the galleries tonight. And then tomorrow morning at 11:30, the Boca Marimba Band from Portland will be performing on the courtyard again this year by the Coaster Theater. And last year, that was incredible. You could hear them all over Cannon Beach.
Yes.
In fact, one of the people who has a business right there on the courtyard, when they started warming up, he said, well, is there volume control on these? And I said, no, what you hear is what you get.
Right,
and,
right.
But a few minutes later, he was smiling
happy.
From ear to ear.
Oh, the music is fabulous. Right. They're a terrific group. And people were probably out there dancing
oh,
as
they
well.
Were.
You can't stand
yeah.
still to that music.
And
I love that.
The stilt walker also started walking around town, handing out the brochures at the same time.
Nice.
And then the band finished up at 1:30, and at 2 o'clock, we started the artist swarm, where all of the participating artists come together to work for 2 hours on that courtyard. And the beauty of that is a visitor who wants to see all of the artists at work can come to one place and see all of them.
So they bring all their material with them.
Yeah, all the easels, everything. And the ones that
I did not that know
are
about that.
That are painters will do demos.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the people from Icefire Glassworks, they obviously can't be blowing glass there, but they will bring some of the different kinds of glass that they use so they can explain to people how the process works. The imprint gallery has a printing studio upstairs, and they'll be doing a printing demonstration.
Oh, wow.
So, there'll be a lot.
Okay, tell us again when and where that is. That's
okay.
Saturday.
On Saturday, tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
The band is from 11:30 to 1:30,
mm-hmm.
and then from 2 to 4 is the artist swarm, and then also from 10:30 to 4:30, we have a children's creative play area where kids of all ages can get their faces painted, can
where
play with
that?
Clay.
Also
and it's
in that
on the,
area?
It's in the U.S. Bank parking lot directly across the street.
So am I right that basically all of Cannon Beach gets involved in these festivals?
Yes,
yeah. That's what seems to happen whenever there's a festival in Cannon Beach. Everybody pitches in.
Yes,
it's
they do.
It's quite wonderful. Yeah, and people work together, and the restaurants provide goodies to the to the galleries. And but this, I have never heard the term artist swarm. Is that a...
That's our own term.
Thank you. That's what I would... I suspected it might be. Okay. Very exciting.
And then what we're going to end with tomorrow evening is a raccoon firing on the beach with Dave and Bonnie Deal. And this will be the fourth year that they've done it. And they work together. Bonnie does the decoration on the ceramic pieces, and Dave does the firing. And they literally bring a kiln that's gas-fired and put it on the beach.
Wow.
And then at 7 o'clock, They start with a piece they've got in the kiln, and they bring it out, and they put it into a big garbage can that's filled with combustible material, and the flames shoot up, and...
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Ooh, and they're on the beach, so it's safe. Right. There are no trees around. And so their work... In the past, at least, they do some very large work.
Very large pieces.
And gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
Quite, yeah. Okay.
And wow. Raku gives it a very kind of smoky, crinkled look. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. But, yeah, they're really good.
Okay, now, is there a website that folks can go to get to see
yes.
some of the stuff you're talking
it's,
about?
It's cbgallerygroup.com.
Okay, that's easy enough. CB, as in Cannon Beach, cbgallerygroup.com.
Right.
Okay, and what's happening tonight?
Tonight there's just receptions at the galleries.
At the galleries,
right.
Okay.
And then tomorrow night there will also be some receptions before the Raku firing, mm-hmm. and the Rogue Bluegrass Band will be at Whale Park for that,
woo-hoo.
Too. So.
And Sunday is anything?
Sunday, the artists will just be out painting
okay.
all around
just.
Or doing what they're doing. All, you know,
so you can interface
all of the
with
different
the...
things they
okay.
bring to this.
Now, speaking of the artists, Joanne is one of them, Joanne Schellen. And welcome.
Thank
and
you.
Tell us about your work and yourself, and have you been part of the Cannon Beach Festivals before?
I came last year for the first time, and it was so exciting. We got down here Thursday night, and Friday, it's windy, it's raining, it's pouring. I'm like, this is like an extreme sport. That's what it felt like, painting as an extreme sport. So I found a tree to be underneath it. This very kind homeowner came out with some hot coffee. It was
oh,
really
sweet.
Nice. I had to, like, pour the water out of my palette. It was so exciting.
It's going to be very. It's going to be so boring this year.
I know.
I'm
it's just like
you.
Sunburn City, you know? I'm fine with that.
Tell us what kind of work you do, Jeremy.
I'm an oil painter, and I've been painting for 18 years, and I took a class at a community center in Kirkland, where I live, and fell deeply in love. I just love painting. I do
Wait,
it full time.
So you had not been a painter before?
I hadn't been a painter before.
Had you been in the arts?
I had always felt confident and comfortable in any kind of art situation.
Mm-hmm.
Always. I minored in it in college. Always done a lot. And then, you know, working in a different industry and then you have kids, there's not like a lot of time. And I started, when my second kid was in preschool, I started messing around with art again, took a class in painting, which I just hadn't done before. My grandmother painted, my dad painted,
okay.
but I hadn't really
so
painted.
You're genetically disposed
I guess.
To. Yes.
Somehow it's really good having seen somebody
yes.
that you know do something.
Right.
It just like opens a door. It's like
right.
you
right.
can do that. It's
right.
a thing humanly possible.
Which
right?
is one of the beautiful things about this festival and all of them is it's out there. People who come to Cannon Beach, there's going to be a lot of people here because it's like, even though it's going to be 85 here, it's going to be 120 in Portland. They're all
right.
going to come. And some of them are not coming. They don't even know about the art.
Yeah.
But they're going to get it. And they're going to be, whoa, this is fantastic. Lucky us. And the children will see it and be able to take advantage. So that's quite wonderful. It's nice to hear your story. So what are we going to see of your work? And what? How do you work in oil under a tree? With wet palette. Or no, let's
well, oil
update.
And water don't mix, so we got something going
okay.
for us here that I can still paint even when it's raining out.
So now, this time it's going to be hot. Does that affect your
It doesn't.
Material? No.
Acrylic paints, if you were an acrylic painter, that would really affect your materials. It dries so quickly, but oils are pretty wonderful. They don't dry that fast. You can keep messing with them for a long time.
So are you going to be working outside? Or
I did, yeah. You work, you get sand in your paintings. You get little bits of trees. I mean,
yeah.
all sorts of unintended things happen.
Have you shown at Dragonfire before?
I have. Yeah, I've been. You can always see my work at Dragonfire.
Okay,
they're just such a wonderful gallery.
They
I
are.
Love them.
They're wonderful people, and
yes.
the gallery is. You could spend a day in there, just walking around. It's so diverse, and there's so much
yeah.
stuff and different artists. So
and
I'm going to be looking
really,
for you
really
next
kind.
Time.
The owners
yeah.
they work really hard
yeah.
for their artists. I feel really lucky to be there.
Yeah. It's a good place, and I have to say, most of the galleries, last week, as a matter of fact, I had folks from the Cannon Beach Gallery, Kara Miko, who's the program director, and Megan Sokol, who's the arts education director, talking about the landscape show and the art camp and all the other things. Cannon Beach, to its credit, even though it's so popular, it's still holding its own as an arts capital.
Right.
And that's exciting.
It is exciting. Yeah. Not all. That's a really good point.
A lot of places kind of sell out.
Right. The brick and mortar's kind of falling aside for some galleries.
Yeah.
But Cannon Beach is still strong.
Yeah. Well, I'm so delighted that you are here, both of you. This is great. Anything else we should know about the weekend, but also about just in general, about the arts?
Well, both of the festivals that the Cannon Beach Gallery Group puts on, Spring Unveiling in early May, and then Plainer and More now, and then Stormy Weather happens in November, but that's sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce. We're still involved in it. Mm-hmm. But these are some of the major art shows in the state and in the Northwest. And we draw a huge crowd from Washington, Northern California, Idaho, British Columbia.
I hear what she's saying. It's art. Not only saves lives, but art is good for the economy. And so that means that even if you don't think, what art, who cares, think again, folks, and see how you can enjoy the beauty of it, the spiritual uplifting as well as the economic upturn, because it's true, it draws people from all over. So our little Cannon Beach is going to be popping. And be there if you can. Get rid of your car, just like I said last weekend with Sandcastle. Could be even more. Ditch your car and just walk around. That's the other beauty. It's a small enough town you can do that. So, great. Joanne, thanks for coming. Do drop in again.
Thank you
Bonnie,
so much, Carol.
It's so good to meet you finally. Yeah.
Thank you very much. We've been sending you people for a long time
to talk to you. Yes, so it's true.
I'm glad to finally be here.
I assumed that I'd met you before, but when you walked in, I said, oh, I don't know you, but I do now. So
thanks
so much for coming. Folks, it's a very busy weekend. There's also other stuff going on. The Coaster Theater is happening. The Armory Skateboard Park, this is right here in Astoria, 17th and Duane, that's across from the Bow Picker, tonight at 8 o'clock. Oh, bring your skateboards, by the way. Okay, listen up. Friday, three fast-paced punk bands to shred your boards to. That obviously is a quote. What do I know? Saturday, a poetry projection art sassy femme punk band kind of show. I'm reading straight from Nicholas. Sunday, hilarious weirdo country act Mark and the Horse Jerks. Yes, siree. On Sunday, bring food for the barbecue also. And from Walt Trumbull, Lincoln for the People, 7 o'clock. This is tonight at the Seaside United Methodist Church. He always does a fabulous job. Peninsula Players, you heard about. And Arch Cape Concert with Roy Bookbinder, who is fabulous. If you want to get in on that, give me a call after the show. And thank you so much for being here. There's lots more going on all the time. I hope you heard Albert's show this morning. Great band. KMUNS, Doria, KTCB, Tillamook, coastradio.org. Do stay tuned and take advantage of the arts. Art saves lives.